talks too much. His tone of voice just gets underneath my skin.
The return of Starsky and Hutch minus hair. Call me Kojak.
You heard Rick Carlisle talking about coming out aggressively.
Try to convey to the people out here at BGC Sports World how lucky Dallas, Texas is to have two coaches who have wonderful basketball pedigree, collegiate and pro.
But you gotta love him for his trivia and all those random facts.
Fellas, I'm ready to get up and do my thing.
Did you really think I would just up and disappear?
Now, the BGC Sports Network proudly presents Hanging with Mr. Will.
Cut number four, and a pleasant good day, be it morning, afternoon, or evening, because Lord knows when you hang with Mr. Will, Willie Martin, you're either waking up with me, driving home with me, or you're going to bed with me. Relax, Johnny Carson and Evan. You set the bar on that. I doubt I'll ever catch up to that, but just something to keep in mind. Three times the listening, three times the fun, three times the factoids, three times the information, three times the betterment of your being by listening to the sound of this voice, because what I bring forth is of the knowledgeable variety, and I try to keep it fun at the same time. May 21st, it's early in the morning, and you know, having just turned 50, I'm catching myself having many senior moments. Just moments ago, here I am, at the gas station, I paid the attendant $10, I asked for the receipt, start doing the windows, front and back, hop in the car and drive off, realizing I had not put gas in the car as of yet. If this is what senior life is going to be, I'm going to start hitting the potassium harder and the B12 even harder. I had to go back in that store and say, yep, I'm that same guy, just turned 50, sorry. Is that what happens? Or like I'll be in the shower and I wash my hair, or I wash my head, excuse me, and it's like, wait a minute, I just did this 10 minutes ago. Is this what middle age is going to be like? You imagine how bummed I'm going to be if I forget everything I've learned to remember up until now, including birthdays? And yes, the running joke, the long-standing running joke at work at Cool River for me has been the following. My boss, Pat Obenshain. Great man, great businessman, very paternal in his dealings. He walks up to me one day just out of the blue and says, Martin, what are you going to do if God asks when his birthday is? And I said, I'll be shoveling your coal, boss. He laughed and walked off. A little sleep deprived, but on the road. You know, it's really weird. This is one of the first times in about a month, actually even longer than that, that I'm actually just in my car and en route to somewhere as opposed to being somewhere and doing this podcast, because in between the Stars playoff run, the Mavericks playoff run, the Rangers run of home games, the Byron Nelson last week, and now the Colonial this week, I really have not had much time to just do what I'm doing right now. A little repartee with you, the listener, here on the good old BGC Sports Network. And I hope you are here to understand that it is my job to somehow expand the brand. Some places may talk about how you grow the show, but in my case, we're talking about expanding the brand. That phrase alone should get me a great underwear commercial. DVD with my BVD, you know what I'm saying? or maybe something of the coffee variety or energy drinks. Like, I need that. In any event, it is May 21st, and I am actually en route to Fort Worth as I speak. It's early morning. The Pro-Am will be going on. It will be in full effect when I get there. It began about 6 o'clock this morning. It's about, I'm doing this about 8 a.m. this morning. And I'll be in Fort Worth the next half hour to 45 minutes. And I will have reports during the course of this day. I will go back again on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 23rd, 24th, 25th. And as luck would have it, it seems every time I've made the trek out to Fort Worth, this being my third year I went in 2010, went in 2011. The last 2 years, work kept me away, sadly. But I saw your defending champion almost win it at the Byron last week, Boo Weekly. That guy's a hoss, man. I could see him wrestling that alligator. He's Cajun. I'll buy it. He is your defending champion. And as I spoke about this in the last podcast, we have got a field of players. I'll rattle off some names when I get settled in at the Colonial a little bit later. But today, what I really want to do is just get myself acclimated to the whole environment. Now, as hyper as I am right now, because I'm naturally a hyper guy, once we get to Fort Worth, a wonderful dynamic happens. Things start to settle. The mood is a lot more chill. The people dress more traditionally. The history of the course, Ben Hogan-esque, if you will. Ben Hogan, by the way, the only man to win the Byron and the Colonial in 1 year. You got to go back to the late 1940s. 1946, I believe. Yes, that was the year when Enos Country Slaughter scored from first base on a single to beat the Red Sox in 7 games. He and his Cardinals. Post Gas House Gang. Yeah, I knew that. Heck of a field. Heck of amenities. And even though I'm now fast approaching 17 years without a libation, I am told that the spot to be, if you go to the Colonial this weekend, Cedric, Charles, go Jack Daddy, Kendall, Duffy, Donald Ware, just saying, you want to be by hole number 13 where they got these fine looking ladies making them margaritas, that blendy blendy drinky drink, and of course you people watch. You won't need Jerry Springer for this either. It's nice viewing. Everything is fully clothed and done right. Unlike the Byron, which is basically a call for help and you're hoping that Walmart shows up with Jerry Springer. Just saying. The one saving grace about this Colonial Golf Tournament is that it's going to be a party. It's going to be people watching. It's going to be packed houses. And even though they draw better golfers for their event than the Byron pays more. So obviously the sponsorships there do. There must be a dearth of sponsorships to cover all that, and that people want to play there. And with the weather getting hot and with the threat of thunderstorms, which happens every year this time of year, unfortunately, you have the saving grace of oak trees and lots of shade. Lots of old growth oak trees. If you were to go to the computer and punch up www.crownplazainvitational.com, you got to look at the lay of the map, the lay of the land. It is a beautiful course. It is a very well-constructed course. It has a certain flair, a certain feel, a certain identity. It rocks. Now, I promised a certain famous individual that I would hit the Railhead Smokehouse when there sometime this weekend. And I will. And I'm going to do the barbecue. I'm going to do the ribs. I'm going to have no guilt. I will have no guilt. Speaking of expanding the brand. I'm going to work the girth for what it's worth. Definitely going to hit the Railhead Smokehouse. Another place worth checking out is Joe T. Garcia's. This is a place over on Commerce Street in downtown Fort Worth, a few blocks away from where the Fort Worth Cats do their thing at LeGray Field. Great enchiladas, great tacos, great Mexican food. And the deal is, they've been around for like almost 80 years, 90 years. Cash only. Cash only. Where was this gig when I was getting into the restaurant industry 35 years ago? I could have kept so much hidden. I'm kidding, IRS. You and I are good. In any event, Fort Worth is where I am headed. Yes, you are hanging with Mr. Will. A very soon to be getting amped up Mr. Will. The coffee now kicking in. Rangers lose again last night. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry, gals. This is a train wreck that's not going to stop crashing. This is going to be a very forgetful year. The only thing I can think of that even comes close to matching this, actually two examples. I first go back to 1979, when a very good California Angels team went to the playoffs before being spanked by the Baltimore Orioles in four games. 1980, a team decimated, and I mean just obliterated by injuries. They went from first to sixth, and they had no answers, and Jim Fregosi wasn't long after that. Saw the same thing happen in, 1984-85 with the Chicago Cubs. The Cubs, Game 5, San Diego, blown, 3-0 lead. They lose 6-3, ground ball through the legs of Leon Bull Durham. Rick Sutcliffe strong for six innings. They couldn't. That so-called curse just kept on rolling on through. Thank you, Harry. Thank you, Goat. Thank you, Chiva. And they had a great year in 84. They were fun to watch that year with Ryne Sandberg and Rob Dernier and Keith Moreland and Rick Sutcliffe. 16-1 after June 29th as a Cub. Got traded from Cleveland. 4-5 record prior to that. Part of that deal from Mel Hall, I believe. He was awesome. You had Steve Lake as a backup catcher. You had Jody Davis. That was a fun team. 185, they got bit by the injury bug, and they were nowhere to be found. This on the heels of their mantra, the Cubs will thrive. The Cubs will thrive, and it might be, it could be, it is. Holy cow, he hit a hole. How do you say Concepcion, much less try to hit the walls? How did you do that? This is Harry Carey. They said the Cubs would thrive in 85. Well, it didn't quite happen. They had the injury bug. And then, of course, you're seeing this happen with the Texas Rangers. And oh, by the way, this really starts to bother me after a while. First we hear about the injury. Then your GM comes along and says, well, we knew about this for the last month that he had neck problems. Really? Well, let me go a step further then. How do you not know that Prince Fielder was damaged goods when you got him? Tell me one example. Tell me one instance where you make a trade for someone, and the person you're making the trade with says, "Oh yeah, here you go, son. There's $30 million too, just for the trouble. He's damaged goods. You just don't know it yet." If we can prove that Prince Fielder was damaged goods, can we somehow annul this trade like you annul a bad marriage because you see your partner doing ill with a yoga instructor or something? I'm just wondering. I'm just asking. Prince Fielder says he's going to be okay in a couple of days. I don't know. This sounds like the kind of injury that may linger for a while. Anyhow, second of two game set with the Mariners later on today, 1 o'clock start. I'll be in Fort Worth, not going to be watching the Rangers, sorry to say. They lost last night 6-2. That kid, Uwakuma, he's good. 3-0 now. Colby Lewis had problems. He's now 3-3. Adrian Beltre finally got a home run. Nicely done. Not enough. They lose. And where the standings are right now, the Rangers sit 8 games back of Oakland. And right behind them are the Houston Astros at, I think, 11.5 or 12.5 back. Houston is an up-and-coming team. I know you're laughing now, but don't be laughing come July, August when you see them knock out a run. It's going to come. I promise you it's going to come. When you got enough people believing in something good, a miracle tends to happen. That's why I stay single. That's the biggest miracle I can think of. That was for you, Cedric. In any event, just getting warmed up. Let's take our first break of this podcast. You are hanging with Mr. Will en route to Fort Worth. I'm about to get colonialized Pro-Am style. And if it becomes a horror, we'll call it Pro-Amityville. Eh, maybe not. All right, back in a bit. Now back along the grounds of the Crown Plaza Invitational, where the Colonia is going to be played later on this week. Pro-Am going on right now, and currently you have your 2011 winner, David Toms, leading in the Pro-Am at 5-under. Jordan Spieth is at 1-under. I think I saw where Rory Sabatini and
Jim Furyk were both at even. You've had a morning group of gentlemen going out and going the rounds, more of the same for this afternoon. It's about 10 o'clock right now from where I stand. The clouds have dissipated. The sun has come out. It's going to be a hot and humid day today. We may see storms later in the week. I'm all settled in for the weekend. I'm actually very excited to be back here in Fort Worth, knowing what I know now as far as covering this great event. And to give you an idea of some of the players involved in this year's tournament, and it is a big tournament, let's start with an add-on due to a withdrawal by one Patrick Weed. The young man who had that 27 on the back nine on Friday at the Byron a week ago, Paul Casey, he is now in. You'll also hear names like Robert Allenby, Woody Austin, Ricky Barnes, Owen Brown, Angel Cabrera, who had the pleasure of shaking my hand last Sunday, Chad Campbell, Greg Chalmers, Chad Collins, Jeff Curl, Brendan DeJong. He was a 2-under in this Pro-Am, 10 holes in. Jason Duffner, Ricky Fowler, Matt Flesch, Jim Furyk, Brian Gay, Lucas Glover, Bill Haas, James Hahn, J.J. Henry, Tim Herron, Charlie Hoffman, John Hugh, Billy Hoger III, Dustin and Zach Johnson, Matt Jones, Matt Kuchar, Martin Laird, Mark Leishman, Justin Leonard, Davis Love III, Hunter Mahan, Hideki Matsuyama, William McGirt, Sean O'Hare, Jeff Ogilvy. Saw Jeff Ogilvy a moment ago, took a picture of him, as a matter of fact. Jeff Overton, Ryan Palmer, spoke with him on Sunday. Rod Pampling, Corey Pavin. Who can forget that shot that Corey Pavin had at Shinnecock in 1995 to defeat Greg Norman by, I think, one stroke. John Rollins, Rory Sabatini, Adam Scott, John Senden, Vijay Singh, Jordan Spieth, Daniel Summerhays, John Teeter, Michael and Nicholas Thompson, Brendan Todd, David Toms. Toms, your leader of the Pro-Am today. Bo Van Pelt, Kevin Tway, Jimmy Walker, Boo Weekly, defending champion, Tim Wilkinson, Y.E. Yang, to name a few. Now, we did get some pre-recorded commentary from Jimmy Walker and Boo Weekly, and I will transcribe that and put it up on my website, masterofnothing.com, www.masterofnothing.com. It'll also show on Blitz Weekly. Thanks to Blitz Weekly for allowing me the forum to be able to cover this great event for the first time on their behalf, and third time back in 5 years. The course looks outstanding, and I cannot wait to see the crowds rolling on in for this weekend as this Colonial plays itself out. And how will Mr. Boo Weekly do? All right, take a break, come back in a bit. Get some sights and sounds of golf, if we will. Maybe some interviews. You're hanging with Mr. Will. Back in a bit. Now nestled closely between holes number 7 and, I believe, 8. That's actually number 6. Between holes 6 and 7. I'm standing by this beautiful old-growth oak tree, giving me all the shade in the world. Breeze is kind of defined today. It's kind of blowing of the southern, south-southwest variety like you get at the ballpark in Arlington. And people are slowly showing up, making their presence felt. And I think I see Jim Furyk off in the corner, so I'm going to take a quick picture of him getting a shot off. I'll be real quiet. That's definitely Jim Furyk. And he has got himself a crowd. I may have that wrong. Actually, now I'm going to find out who that is. For these Pro-Ams, you'll see the pros hit from way back in the back part of the tee. Up toward the yellows, you'll have all the corporate sponsors doing their hitting alongside the given golfers. And I'm not seeing the guy carrying the tote board as to who this golfer is. It looked like Jim Furyk. I could be wrong. Oh, I take that back. Now that was a good rip, if you heard that. That was Jay Haas. That's Jay Haas I just photographed taking a picture. So, well done for him and for that sponsor along with him. He just ripped one about 300 yards. Nicely done. And off to the left here at hole number six, seven. Another bunch of golfers now moving on in. Golfer Burden along with his group of sponsors doing their thing. Now this particular hole, number six, you've got a whole bit of water before getting onto the green. You've also got two sand traps left of the green if you decide to go high and far. And yes, you are hanging with Mr. Will, and we are at the home of the Colonial for 2014. Tournament play is going to start tomorrow. I'm going to be back Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm already jacked up and fired up about all this. Totally different from what the Byron's like, I'll tell you that. It's a much more laid-back feel, and it is a sea of green here, especially the scenic spot over by hole number 13. Let this group pass. I'll start talking ladder again. Nice breeze. It's a cloudy May 21st thus far. We've already seen Ricky Fowler roll by. Jeff Ogilvy shot by a little bit earlier. Coming up right now is Brian Davis. We also saw Jeff Ogilvy a little while ago. Here to tell you that if anybody decides to do a movie on the life of Ricky Fowler, who better than the guy who looks most like him, that being Leonardo DiCaprio. And he's always got the wild colored shirts on. And one of the group with Brian Davis just got a great shot out of the sand trap as approaching the green here at number six. And I just turned my neck for a second. All of a sudden, I'm seeing a whole sea of fans and volunteers and caterers and distributors and the like start to show up here at this event. Now, I know what the numbers were for the Byron last week in terms of turnout. I am told that for the Colonial Fort Worth, it's even crazier. It's even bigger. It's even more exciting. So this Pro-Am day will be a lesson itself. Corny just taking some pictures. I'll roll out some video later on this afternoon. And yes, Kelly, I'll shoot two reports to you before this day is over. And take in some sights and maybe hit some railhead smoke barbecue later. But we're having a chilling, relaxing morning, soon to be afternoon day here at the Colonial in Fort Worth. You got a lot of the fans with their seats already perched up in certain spots in the shade, watching the action come to them and come by them. And there'll be more action going on later. Now, last I checked, it was David Toms with a 5-under-stroke lead. That hit the water. In this Pro-Am, and we'll see how that goes the rest of the day. The breeze is a welcome one. We may see the threat of rain later on this weekend. That tends to happen when we come to Fort Worth. I know it happened back in 2011, the week before Memorial Day, the Friday. It just stormed like crazy. You had delays, I think, on the Sunday when, David Toms won. I know Mr. Johnson had delays in 2010 and 2012. 2010 was actually very memorable. Who will it be this week? And I'm kind of curious to see just how well Jordan Spieth bounces back from last week. And of course, you can't rule out someone like a Jason Duffner. Absolutely picture perfect. I'm looking out toward the greens, the way that it's laid out and such. And along the fence line, where number one begins, you've got I think Colonial Road, and it is, I'm sorry, you have a side road with all these beautiful old houses laid out in bunting, banner saying good luck John, good luck so and so. And you know, while I'm at it, and yes, I am Willie Martin, you are hanging with Mr. Let's throw some money, let's throw some facts your way, which sometimes is as good as money. If you want to make it on out to enjoy this event, this once a year event here in Fort Worth at the Colonial Country Club in Fort Worth, Texas, Now that they are sharing a purse of $6.4 million, the winner's share is going to be $1.152 million. Your defending champion indeed is Boo Weekly, and the website for more information is www.crownplazainvitational.com. There is an E in Crown. Daily rates, if you want to do tickets, if you want to just do the one-day deal, $45. You want to do it for the whole week, you can get a weekly ground badge for $100, a Champions Club badge for $225. Kids 13 to 17 are $15. And if you have kids who are age 12 and under, they get in for free. Now, live coverage of this event will be on the Golf Channel. Saturday, Sunday coverage will be on CBS with Jim Nance. The times are being noon to 1:30 on the Golf Channel Saturday, Sunday, and then 2 to 5 on CBS Saturday and Sunday. Also, if you're worrying about getting shuttled over here, that's actually a pretty sweet deal. If you're media, you get a parking pass. Otherwise, public parking you'll find at Farrington Field and also at TCU Amon Carter Stadium, $10 a day, Wednesday through Sunday. It includes shuttle bus service to and from the Colonial. And if you have any questions on any of this, the number to call is Dennis Roberson, tournament manager, 817-927-4278. And I can also tell you there's a new addition to the Colonial. That is the Frost Park. Brand new in 2014, the main entrance and fan fest will be accessed to the City Park located on University Drive and Colonial Parkway next to the golf course. The shuttle buses will drop off and pick up spectators throughout the day at this location. Live music presented Thursday through Saturday after tournament play concludes. Details at crownplazainvitational.com. And they've got some rules about what you can and cannot bring to this event. Be aware of the following. Autographed items, you want something autographed or signed. Posters and autographed items cannot be 8 inches by 12 inches. They won't be allowed in the tournament. Clipboards also not allowed. They'll be confiscated. All in the name of security. Mobile devices, keep them on silent at all times. Calls allowed in restricted areas only. Prohibited on this golf course this year. Large purses or bags, audible pagers, firearms, backpacks, clipboards, cameras, not allowed Thursday through Sunday. Glass containers or alcohol, confiscated if brought to the tournament. All purses and bags subject to a search. And as far as the weekend breakdown of this great event, tournament schedule, after today's Pro-Am play, Thursday, you'll have the first round of competition starting promptly at 7:30 in the morning. 7:30 on Friday. May 24th, Saturday, same thing, 7:30. Final round of competition will start promptly at 7:30. And on the 18th green, you'll have an award ceremony at 5:15 p.m. I still remember how emotional that was for David Toms a couple weeks after having lost in a playoff in New Orleans, I believe. And then he finally got the title and he got the gold. He got the award. He had his family there. It was very exciting. And there was a sea of Tiger fans wearing the perp, which works out perfect. That is the color of TCU here for the most part, purple being the color of royalty. And that was a lot of fun. And I'm here to tell you that hole number 13 is where you want to be for all the action. We'll get to that a little later. Let's take another break. I'm going to take a break myself and knock out some reports to keep my editor happy. And we'll check back with some video and some more comments a little bit later and an update on how this program's going today. You're hanging with Mr. Will live on the Colonial Grounds this day before the start of the tournament, Pro-Am style, May 21st. Mariners and Rangers also getting ready to start up in a couple of hours down the road at Globe Life Park. We'll give you an update on that also. Rangers having lost yesterday 6-2. I'm Mr. Will. You're hanging with me, and I'm coming right back. Love Fort Worth. Matt Kuchar.
Okay, we'll go ahead and get started. I'd like to welcome Matt Kuchar to the Crown Plaza Invitational at Colonial. Matt, you've never missed a cut here in 7 starts. Had a runner-up finish last year. You've got 9 top 10s this season on tour and 13 starts. Kind of talk about your thoughts coming into this week and your expectations in the week, and then we'll have some questions.
I love coming back here. This stretch in Texas is one I always enjoy and look forward to. For me, it's a couple great courses. This one in particular is just a favorite of mine. This is one of my favorite courses, tournaments of the year. But I get to spend a few more weeks with my instructor, Chris O'Connell's in Plano, so get some good work in, and always feel like I get on some pretty good form. This event means a lot to me. So much history here. You tee up on the first hole, and you walk by that wall of champions, and you just see the great names, and it's certainly an event I'd like to put my name up on that wall. It's a great event. I was close last year, a little bummed not to be able to finish it. Boo Weekly played great on Sunday, or great all week last year, and I'm hoping I can climb up one more spot this year. But this has been a great year. I had a fantastic run for those 4 weeks through the Masters leading up to Hilton Head, and now I feel like I'm kind of getting back on some of that good form again, and excited for the stretch of golf here starting now.
Okay, questions? Jimmy, right?
Yeah, Matt, just you mentioned moving up one more spot here at Colonial. You're also doing some climbing in the World Golf Rankings. You're fourth this week. What would it mean to you to get to that top spot? And I guess that's maybe an outside chance this week if you win here. Any thoughts on that?
You know, I don't pay a whole lot of attention. I think those are some of the things that take care of themselves. I've always been good at focusing on the things I can control. But that being said, the number one position is an awesome title. I think one of those things, no matter what you do, to be able to say for a while that you were the best in the world is pretty awesome. So that's a cool title. I think all of us that play here have those aspirations to be the best of the best. That's cool and it's attainable. I know it wasn't long ago that number one ranking was not attainable. I mean, Tiger had such a lockdown on it that just everybody else was so far behind. The second was the only place you could really try to get to. Now there's a number of us kind of within distance, or it's at least attainable by year end, to be the best player in the world. That's pretty exciting.
Bill?
Now you talked about working with Chris. How much does that help you in work going toward the U.S. Open? And also, how long have you been with him?
Chris and I started in 2006. I was back on that web.com back then, and I feel like I've improved every year. I feel like there hadn't ever been you've got to get worse to get better. It's been a great progression. And it's great timing. I mean, my work with Chris is, I seem to always get better and better. And so leading up to a tournament like the U.S. Open is great. I actually changed my schedule this year leading up to the Masters. Played both tournaments in Texas, the San Antonio and Houston, which is not normal for me to make Masters week three in a row. But I figured, gosh, after 2 weeks with Chris, I've always seemed to got in pretty good form. And last year I had the 2 weeks, had a second here, had to win at Memorial next week. So I always feel like I get on some good form, with that time with Chris. So U.S. Open looming, it's certainly good timing.
Okay, over here.
Matt, you mentioned obviously the number one spot being attainable by several guys. What do you think that does for the game when you have that's an attainability for different guys, and there are different guys in the mix to be number one?
It's exciting. I mean, the game of golf is great if Tiger has a lockdown on number one, and the game of golf is great if a number of guys got a chance. It's a little more fun for the guys that have a chance. There's some excitement there, but the game of golf is certainly strong. We've got amazing new guys coming along. We've got some veterans that continue good golf. It's kind of fun to see this week's field having some of the guys like Olin Brown and Keith Clearwater and some of those older guys in the field. I think that's cool. I think it's good for the game.
Okay. Chris?
Matt, you got a chance to join a pretty exclusive list of players who have won both at Harbortown and here. What similarities do both golf courses have with each other?
Certainly tight tree line, a lot of dog legs. Driving the ball is crucial. I think very, very demanding driving golf courses, and ones you have to shape the ball both ways, both left to right and right to left. And Hilton Head maybe even more so than here, not only being in the fairway, but the proper side of the fairway. There's certainly a lot of positioning involved in each course. But I think guys really enjoy playing because there's so much strategy, whether or not to be aggressive on certain holes. You know, you can take the third hole, the fifth hole, so many different ways to play the ninth hole, so many different ways where you can be safe off the tee, leave yourself a longer, more difficult approach shot. You can take on some challenge, and you know, there's a good risk-reward factor on all those holes. If you take it on, you make the hole a potential birdie hole, but if it doesn't come off, it's a bogey hole. So it, I think a lot of great risk-reward on both courses.
You finished second last year. Can you just talk about, I guess, Sunday and your thoughts on making a run for it there?
It's always exciting having a chance. I was in the position. This is a tournament that certainly ranks really high on my list of tournaments I'd like to win. Always was exciting. I can't really control what the other guys do. I wasn't my sharpest, but it's still hard to knock a second place finish. You're playing against the best guys in the game of golf. That was great to see Boo Weekly do so well. He's a great asset to the PGA Tour. A great guy, and certainly one of those fantastic ball strikers, a winner of both. We talked about a small club that's won Hilton Head and here. And, you know, Boo Weekly's part of that group, and deservedly so.
Matt, I'm guessing you probably never met Ben Hogan, but have you read his book? Do you admire his? What's your history of Ben Hogan?
Certainly a huge admirer. I think a lot of what I do with my swing, I think most people think of my swing as being very flat, but a lot of what I do with my swing tries to emulate a lot of what he does, particularly the impact area. And I think everybody would love to do what he did with the golf swing, with the golf ball. And I feel like a lot of my work with Chris tries to get as close to that as possible.
Mike?
Matt, obviously, length off the tee is not really a disadvantage out on tour, but are there places on this course where maybe being long could be a little of a disadvantage?
No.
No.
That is always an advantage. There is no reason why length is never an advantage. You always have the ability to hit an iron. You always have the ability to play shorter. There's so many places where it's just an asset that some people have and some people don't, and that's never a bad thing.
Is it less of an advantage here though than in other places?
Hard to say. You wonder about those long guys if they hit a two iron as far as I hit a driver. Is it easier to hit a two iron in the fairway than it is a driver? I'm not sure. It's not something I always feel like I have a better chance of hitting the fairway if I'm hitting an iron off the tee than a driver. But certainly there's a lot of places where they can hit driver as an advantage. I don't never see having length as a disadvantage.
Yeah. On a typical round out here, how often will you pull driver on the driving holes?
I use it a fair bit. I use it probably more than most. It was interesting watching Ryan Palmer go around last year, being a local guy that plays here quite a bit. And I think when you feel like it's more your home course, when you're playing just for fun, you're not pulling out iron. Irons just aren't that much fun to hit off the tee. And so Ryan's used to hitting driver off most tees, and saw him hitting drivers off tees I didn't think he would. The ninth hole comes to mind. Ninth hole, I flip-flop between every now and then as a driver, sometimes as a three-wood, sometimes a hybrid, but I think I'm one of the few guys that would ever consider hitting driver, and watching a local guy pull driver there, you think, you know, maybe there's something to it. I hit driver a fair bit, but that being said, I'm not... My drive's a little different than some of the longer guys. I don't fear some of the dog legs, but I also think my driving accuracy is pretty strong. I think that's a strength of mine, and so I try to use those strengths on certain holes where I can take an advantage. Maybe nine, if I'm feeling really good with a driver, to try to make that into a birdie hole, to try to turn what's a lot of times just get a par and get out of there into a, you know, legitimate shot at making birdie.
Okay, Adam.
Matt, in your journey to being in this conversation of potentially being number one, Is there a range session, a finish in an event that you point to as you felt like you turned the corner with the golf swing and feeling like you were going to make strides to being a regular tour winner?
The beauty about the work with Chris is it's just been a slow progression, but always an improved progression, always moving in the right direction. And I don't think there's a point where you just make a huge leap. I think if you're going to start working with a 20 handicapper to get them down to a single digit, you don't go straight to single digit. You go from 20 to 18 to 15, and then you make these small progressions to get better and better. Same with what we deal with. It's small progressions, but you take a half shot off a round of golf for a tour player, two shots a tournament, it's a big deal. I mean, improving a half a shot a round is a major difference.
Okay. Any last questions? These two, and then we'll wrap it up.
Matt, earlier this week, an 11-year-old girl qualified for the U.S. Women's Open. I was wondering if you had, what kind of reaction you had to that, and maybe thinking back when you were 11 years old, was a pro tournament, let alone a major, even really on your radar screen?
No, I didn't start till 12. It is quite amazing. I'm guessing you get the idea that girls mature a little faster than boys, and maybe are a little bit ahead. It's quite an amazing feat. A lot of luck to her, I guess.
Phil?
You mentioned the driver and rethinking that. Are there any other things you've learned over the years in playing this course that made you change strategically?
I think as my game has improved, I've just become a little bit more aggressive. I think I try to play to those strengths, and those strengths tend to be my driver and my wedge game. I think I get a wedge in my hand, and I feel like I've got a real shot at making birdie. So that's probably been the biggest difference. Some of the things you learn over years are just certain places to really avoid missing it, and I feel like I've got enough control over my golf swing now to know, all right, if you can't miss it here, I can still hit a good shot and make sure I don't miss it. Long left on 10 or something like that. There are always a couple things year after you play, and learning from mistakes. I kind of played enough to make enough mistakes to learn from those.
Okay, well, thanks for your time, Matt. You have a pro-am time to get to,
yeah,
so
thank you very
good
much.
Luck this week.
All right, thanks guys.
Matt Kuchar. Adam Scott.
Okay, we'll get started. We'd like to welcome Adam Scott into the interview room here at the Crown Plaza Invitational at Colonial. Adam, first of all, let's get right to matters. Congratulations on the new number one ranking in the official World Golf Rankings. I know that's quite an achievement for you, something that really means a lot to you, if we get some comments.
Yeah, thanks, John. Mm-hmm. It's quite incredible, really, to sit here as the number one golfer in the world. I feel I probably downplayed the rankings for the last few months, maybe out of trying to take some pressure off myself and just think about playing golf rather than other things that happen from it. And I think Monday morning when it was official, maybe I had a better sense of the achievement in becoming number one, and it certainly means a lot to me and my family and the team of guys around me who spend a lot of time with me. And I'm certainly appreciative of their support and everyone else's. It's an amazing accomplishment for me. So I'd just like to say that. And I'm going to have to work pretty hard to stay on top. But part of coming here this week was to play as the number one golfer in the world and enjoy it for at least a week, hopefully. And from there, we'll see what happens.
And before we open up to questions, just comment on this golf course. You're making your third start here at the Colonial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, this is recognized by us as one of the best courses on tour, so there's only a lot of good things to say about this. I'm going to enjoy the challenge this week. I think it's going to give me a good indication of where certain areas of my game are at as we head into a pretty important part of the year coming to the summer. A lot of big golf to be played, and you know, if I'm sharp with my wedges 100 yards and in this week, which I've worked hard on this year, then I feel like I'm going to have a good week.
Okay, great. We'll open up questions. Hawk?
Adam, you just said obviously playing here was part of, you know, being number one and having that experience. Talk about, though, preparing yourself to play as a number one player. Obviously, you haven't had a chance to do that quite yet.
Yeah, it's not something you really spend a lot of time thinking about. It's only been realistic for the last week, sitting at home. And it's been an interesting week. Weather wasn't very good at home the last week for a lot of practice. It was extremely windy and we had a fair few storms. So I probably didn't practice as hard as I normally do, but it was also quite nice to get a bit of a forced rest sometimes. That's a blessing in disguise. And I was getting a little frustrated at the players because my swing and everything felt in good shape, and I didn't get four rounds out of it. I got two rounds out of it. And sometimes to get out of your own way is a good thing, and I think I did that last week, and I got to play a little the last few days, and you know, things just felt a little easier. Than sometimes it's a grind, and I think I took it a bit easy on myself last week.
Okay, Bill.
Is this a good course for you to prepare for the Open, kind of working on shots that you want to improve on?
Yeah, I mean, this is a good course, full stop. It's not good just for preparation. It's a great track and a great list of winners here. But adding this to the schedule was important, I felt, for me. A bit following up on where I was, I've spent a lot of time on the range working on things and everything feels in a good place, but I just didn't take, you know, that playing rhythm out on the course every day at the players. Sometimes you can get stuck on the range and take that to the course, trying to make perfect swings all the time. And I think getting in a little playing rhythm is going to be good for me the next couple of weeks, and then a week off heading into the US Open. So, you know, the goal here is obviously to get in contention, but, you know, try and find that nice rhythm on the course.
Okay, Jimmy.
Yeah, Adam, obviously you knew that the ranking was coming on Monday. Did you do anything to commemorate it with, you know, friends or your wife or anything? Or how did you acknowledge the day you became number one?
Some close friends at home invited me over for dinner and had a couple friends come over to surprise me, and they gave me a very nice gift of... they popped a bottle of champagne, and the cork and wrapping is being sent off to be kind of cast in sterling silver and engraved, so, which is a very nice touch and was really nice of them to do that. And it was things like that, along with receiving messages and congratulations and messages from my family and friends, that, you know, made me get out of my own way a little bit and realize that, you know, it really is an incredible achievement, and you've just got to enjoy the moment, I think, a lot of the time. And certainly playing here this week is for me, and you know, it's something that you throw around when you're a kid, when you're 12 years old, that you'll be the best player in the world. It's really quite incredible that it happened.
Okay, Mike.
Was there a time, obviously Tiger had such a stranglehold on number one that guys maybe just thought, hey, that's just the way it is, and number two is really the number one for everybody else?
It definitely got that way after a couple years and being double the points in front of everyone else, like he was for a while. Honestly, from when I turned professional, it seemed quite unrealistic to think about the number one spot. for a while, and I don't know, it's hard to look 10 or 12 years in the future from when you just turned pro, you have no idea, but it certainly felt that way, that it was somewhat unattainable throughout the early 2000s, that's for sure. And, you know, a couple guys got there. VJ, I think, kind of interrupted his real reign on number one, but it was just remarkable golf for such a long period of time. And for a while, it was really off the radar for me. And only the last couple of years, I felt my game was kind of elevating to a point where, yeah, it's an achievable goal again. So it's I mean, it's quite a journey. It really is, from when you're a kid dreaming.
Okay, Hulk.
As we've seen now, the number one spot obviously is attainable for other people, but also out here on the PGA Tour, I think last week Brendan became the eighth first-time winner already this year, and obviously there's established stars. What does that say about the state of the game right now with so many different people having such an impact on what's going on?
Yeah, well, I've talked a little bit about it this year and the depth of talent out here and just how difficult it is, how good everyone is, how over the last few years I've seen the work ethic generally go up a lot, guys working a lot harder, guys a lot hungrier, seeing what's seeing how far they can push themselves out here. It's not just based on a bit of talent, you know, there's this hard work ethic that goes into it, and I've seen a lot of guys, you know, improve out of sight, and the depth of talent's incredible, and it's probably got to do with some kind of carryover effect that Tiger's had on the game. You know, we're kind of 15 years from when he first came out, and now we're seeing guys in their early or mid-20s, you know, who have put in a lot of work since they were young and aspiring to be Tiger, kind of paying off, and that's why I think we're seeing a lot more first-time winners. It's a lot more competitive, and it's just getting harder and harder to be out here.
All right, Adam.
Adam, did it diminish the accomplishment in any way that you didn't achieve the number one ranking on the golf course when you had some chances?
I'm going to say not really. It's sure, it would have been nice, but all the playing I did added up to this anyway. So it's just the way the system works. And sure, it would have been awesome to win a tournament and jump to number one like some guys have, but it wasn't the way. But hopefully, you know, I can get on and try and win a tournament this week or next week and start trying to keep myself up on top of the list.
Okay, Art.
Adam, the other change and the other thing to be graduated for is your new marriage. Just wondering, how is that going so far? And also, is your wife here this week, or would she travel some with you to different events?
Well, so far so good. I haven't got myself into any trouble yet. It's must be the honeymoon period still.
Is she here this week?
No, she's not here this week.
Would she travel some?
She doesn't travel much, no. She works, so she's busy at home.
Okay,
bye. Adam, is there any confidence gained from knowing that you were able to climb this mountain and get to number one, or does that confidence come from just working hard in the dirt?
A bit of both. I think you're a fool not to use everything to your advantage. You know, I'm definitely going to take some confidence out of this, but at the end of the day, we're all kind of, our happiness and confidence is based on our results and how we're playing. And I know I'm playing well at the moment, but I'm certainly looking to improve on my results. It's not far away. This would be a great week to do it.
Okay, a few more. Okay, Mike.
Adam, obviously you've had a lot of success here in Texas. What is it about these courses and that seem to suit your game?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's just a coincidence or thinking back over the years and sitting answering questions about Texas, a lot of the times, you know, you get this feel that it's very similar to Australia in the way the land is, the trees, it's not dissimilar anyway. And I've always enjoyed playing out here. A fun little mini goal would be to win this week and have won all the events in Texas. I think that'd be quite a fun thing to achieve, and certainly motivation for me out here this week.
Adam, and then Chris.
Adam, you're at number one now, and Martin Keimer talked about the pressure he felt when he was number one. How do you think you will handle it?
Yeah, I don't really know. I'm gonna obviously try my best. I think I've got to not think about the rankings too much, like I was telling you before. I mean, I didn't focus on the rankings the last couple of months, and I really didn't, and tried to downplay it and just get on with playing golf, and I think that's what I need to do now. There is a lot to achieve still this year. There's an event this week, and obviously that we're getting into the lead up to the next major championship of the year, which is a big focus for me. So I think I just need to get on with playing golf, you know, enjoy this week. And I enjoyed Monday night and celebrating with some close friends, but you've got to do that to kind of understand, otherwise everything becomes very monotonous, and just nothing's great and nothing's bad, and you can't be like that. You've got to go through the highs and the lows. So you know, this week's going to be enjoyable, but I'm going to just try and get on with playing golf the best I can.
Chris?
Adam, on Monday, an 11-year-old girl qualified for the U.S. Women's Open, and I wanted to know what your reaction to that was, and also when you were 11 years old, if not just a professional event, but a major, was that ever even on your radar screen?
At 11? The club championships weren't even on my radar screen at 11. It's staggering. It's Lydia Ko's next rival there. You know, it's quite incredible to imagine. What did she shoot? A good score, obviously.
74-68.
Yeah, 74-68. Incredible. I didn't shoot in the 60s when I was 11, so. I think it's just got to be a good thing. There you go, a little bit like I was saying about the young guys and depth of talent out here. It's obviously the same across the board in women's golf as well. Exciting to see. I mean, it's a little scary. But looking at the amateur playing the Masters last year at 14, maybe that, and did he make the cut?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was, you know, it's hard to comprehend, really. I think about how nervous I was playing as a professional for the first time, let alone as an eighth grader. Yeah, it's really hard to comprehend. I don't really have anything better than that for you.
All right. Adam Scott, we appreciate your time. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thanks,
John.
Thank you.
Appreciate
okay.
it.
Hey, Adam, where did the dinner take place? In London? Or where did I...